Okay, I apologize, my voice was not what I expected it to be. I don't have the miracle, apparently it's Sat Dishmaya, but I do have a mic, so hopefully I'll be understood. I want to tell a story that I saw Rosh Hashanah Pinchas giving a kenes to Madrachim during Beit HaZmanim, and he said, for the best things in life, if you want to have the best things in life, you need schuyos. To get schuyos, what a person needs is mesiris nefesh. He just needs a total dedication. He says those zchuyos, right? It's not just something shy of individuals, but even kehilos also can have those kinds of zchuyos that will bring that level of success. And it's only also brought about as mesiris nefesh. As an example, he reflected on his growing up in the United States, and the phenomenon was that many neighborhoods were transitioning. And I saw this in New York myself, from very vibrant Jewish communities, and slowly but surely those communities died out, and they were replaced by crime-ridden slums. And he said the place where he himself learned in East New York, there's Gdole Olam over there, but at some point the community died out. So Pinchas wanted a hesber for this phenomenon. What exactly happened here? So he asked his Rebbe to explain the phenomenon. He said, how could it be that Makom Kadosh, like a shul, could be sold in the worst case scenario to be a church, sometimes a factory? He just could not explain the phenomenon, how that could be. When on the other side, you have communities in Europe that were there for 700 years. You have communities of days of old who lived for 1,000 years, Kehilas. How could it be that 50 years go by and the community is defunct? The Rav explained a very enlightening answer. He said the difference between the two communities is that to have a community, to have a schus kiyum, the schuyus that you need for that community, has to be a total and incredible level of mesiris nefesh given by that community. If the community is built on mesiris nefesh, if in the foundation of the community is cement, right, that's in that community, it's infused with mesiris nefesh and yiras shamayim, then it'll have a schus kiyum. He says, apparently the shuls in East Flatbush that you were describing, when they were building the foundation, instead of putting steel reinforcement, they put in cheap metal. Instead of having cement, they put in plastic and spiritual plastic, and they did not have that schus kiyum. The most important thing that a community needs, right, in order to establish itself, is that inception, when the community is formed, that the people give to that community, the people share in the community with a tremendous amount of mesiris nefesh. I'd like to share one idea before I explain the connection to that and what we're doing here in Beit Tzvila. Towards the beginning of Parshas Vayera, we learn that the Malachim coming to visit Sodom. The Malachim visited Sodom, and there's a Rashi there that always bothered me. It says that Yoshev v'shar Sodom. Rashi says, Oso yomi nuhu shofet aleh. I was bothered by that. It's what's Rashi adding? There's no Rashi. We can move on to the Pesukim. Rashi says he only comes to explain Pshat. And he was telling you that day, what a coincidence, the very, very day that he became the judge happens to be the one day before the existence of stone is completely wiped out. What's it adding over here? Later on, if you continue the same Kav in Rashi, Rashi describes that the whole night, Od Milcha Po, Od Milcha Pe, the whole night Lod was learning schus to the Malachim, how wonderful the people of Sodom are, how great it is in Sodom, and how they should be able to survive it, and they should not be destroyed. And then finally, right after Lod had to almost trade his daughters to save the life of his guests, when the entire city came around and tried to attack him and his guests, and he's being pulled out, and the decree was clear, and the will of Kadosh Baruch Hu was clearly a place like stone should not exist. At that point, Rashi says, what did he pause for? He delayed for the Mammon, and then Lot goes on to be a passive piece in history. What's the connection between all this? I think there's a very, very important thing that happens when a person is also young in the Shovet Aleil. Rashi's telling you that until now, maybe Lot was able to deny what stone was all about. Maybe these were rumors. He didn't know what was really how Sodom operated, what was going on in Sodom. But the day that they Ramona him as a shofet, the day he was appointed to be a leader, at that point he has inside access. He gets to see really what's the nature of the judicial, the economic, and the political system that operates in this town. And at this point, Lot can no longer deny what an immortal place stone was. And the fact that he kept on arguing, O Milchapo, and the fact that after seeing with his own eyes just how evil the people were, he still tarried for the Mammon. Rashi is playing off the colossal failure that Lot had, and why Lot just had to disappear from the annals of history. When I became, the Rabbi asked me, Rosh Litva asked me to become the next president of the shul, so I always had some level of involvement, but never really seeing what happens behind the scenes. I mean, when you become the leader and you start seeing, you know, just how many people are involved in this kehila, just how many people, just all the goodness that went to this kehila, you learn who the anonymous donors are, what they've done, how many people, just behind the scenes, all the things that happen in the shul, someone does that, someone has to do it, and it gets done. And not all of us know who does everything. Everybody knows a couple of people here and there, but no one knows how the whole operation is tied together. And Baruch Hashem, I was able to see that there's a tremendous chus that we have. There's a tremendous chus that our kehila has. There's a tremendous amount of mesiris nefesh. People who, in the beginning of the history of the shul, how the shul started, our shul is infused, the foundation of our shul is established with a tremendous amount of mesiris nefesh. You just learn about the fact that we started in a tent and on the backyards of Dolev that was leaky, and you had to take turns, you know, whether you can go that week or not. And somehow, right, with the leadership in the beginning, all the way to the beginning, somehow it was just leadership. It was like a B'nai Mishkan. Everybody gave. Everybody was a part of it. Right? Somehow we got our shul up in what I would say is kimat no time. Kimat no time. When I came here 10 years ago, with the shul, we were down here in the basement, but we had a place, right? And within, by that Rosh Hashanah already of 2006, we were upstairs. We were upstairs, and slowly but surely the rest of the changes fell into place. There are kehilas in this community who've been around since then, and they still don't have their own building. They still don't have a proper building. But because of, what's the difference? The difference is we have a tremendous amount of mysterious nefesh people putting tremendous kochos into our kehila. And constantly there's improvement, both in the, certainly in the spiritual realm, but even in the Gashmius realm. There's improvements to the binyan, there's improvements to our financial standing. And Baruch Hashem, all of that is because so many people have taken their kochos, both their financial, but more importantly, their talents, their positive energy. They brought that to our kehila, and because of that, we're right now, Baruch Hashem, taking over the presidency at a time where the shul is in a very, very good position. Very good position financially, physically. We're in a very, very good place. Baruch Hashem. But I'd like to point out just some of the things that I just didn't know the answers to. I'm not going to give you the answers. You should all try to find out the answers. But these are the questions we should be asking ourselves. We're all enjoying the shul. We all enjoy the building. We enjoy the air conditioning. We enjoy all the things. I mean, does anyone know how the cleaners are hired? Now, who interacts with the hall, right? When someone sits on a blue chair upstairs and you hear that snap, right? And you see the guy go to the floor. Like, how does a new chair get bought? Or do we have like a guy just call, like, who does that? There's so many things that happen, right? Someone designed the Malava Malka invitation. We have the women have a chesed that they basically, someone has a baby, someone has some need, they can't make the family food that week, and there's a chesed committee that is organized. That there's a schedule of shiurim upstairs. Who put that together, right? It didn't just happen on its own. Every little thing that happens in the shul is people just step up and get involved, and it's just unbelievable, right? The newsletter, what a great newsletter we have. It's you know, it's so informative. There's a lot of work that goes into it. These are hours and hours of work time that people in our community give to the kehila. I have to say that it's clear to me as I'm seeing and I'm learning more and more about just the amount of mesiris nefesh and kochos that people pour into the community. I'm truly inspired by the people that surround me. I have to say that the job is looking like it's going to be a very, very easy job, because there's just so many people who are Baruch Hashem stepping up. Tonight, we have in front of you, if you look on your tables, there are sheets which you can fill out. The women have sheets there. You can sign up for certain committees. the women have, right, and also we have on the men's side. Get involved. There's going to be many, many opportunities. Everybody should ask, what can I do to make our community and our kehila work better, work more efficiently? And the most important thing is that, because Baruch Hashem, we have the luxury of being in such a good position right now in terms of the gashmias aspect, in terms of financially, we're organized, we survived the audit last year. Well, who did that? Someone else did that too, right? We right now have to continue to put our kochos into grow further, and we need to bring in a certain energy. It's been taken for granted that people do what they do. And everyone should ask, what can I do now? If you look right now at our board, the way that we're going to be structuring the board, I think there's a she on both sides. I'd like to just introduce the people who have stepped up. And it was really not hard to get these people to step up. People, just, you know, all these people are extremely talented. Okay, the list is in front of you. For our treasurer. Larry Raff has volunteered. He jumped right into the role. I never accepted the job with Baruch Hashem. He's working together with Ari Sonnenberg and with Mrs. Zoyder, and he's taking the bull by the horns, mamish. For secretary, as Ido introduced, Matt Bornstein is going to continue in that capacity. Ari Stern has always been our gabbai, and always done an amazing job, and he's also going to continue in that role. The big chiddush, I think, of this board is how we're doing, how we're designing programming, and programming, we're dividing it into three parts. Okay, there's the general programming, and Dr. Eliyahu Gurman is in charge of that, which he's done for quite some time. Sometimes officially as a committee member, sometimes just doing it. But the chidushim is the next two, which is Ramosha Stengel, who's going to lead the senior committee. Okay, that's a new avenue. We're trying to organize the shul seniors into a cohesive group. I'll leave it to you to decide if you're part of that group or not. Seniors or whoever you'll know it. The truth is not a joke. The seniors committee is for people, kids are out of the house. There's a group in the shul that I'm not sure that we were answering what their needs are, and I think that we provide for them. If you look over here, it says it'd be a cohesive group, social, cultural, educational, chesed, bikolim, trips. It's whatever the individual people who join Moshe Stengel make of it, right? If it's there for you, join him, right? You don't have to be a senior to join the committee. If you want to help the seniors, Jewel, right? So that's an important thing. Youth programming is going to be led by Ramosha Pitzola. I think it's clear why he's such an excellent choice. He's been engaged with Kiro. We see him all the time, and we bring him on Monday nights. Many times meet him, and he's also stepped up very nicely to help in that. And like I'm saying, all of these committees need your involvement. They need you to say, which committee do I want to be on? What could I do for that committee? Membership. Moshe Lichtenstein is going to lead that. He's got several people to join him already. By the way, with the committees already, many of them, I don't like to say they're filled, but people are joining, people are taking the opportunity to join them. Another new position, which is operations, Ari Sanders, is now involved. Ari Sanders is one of those people who have never wondered if a light bulb goes out, how does it get replaced? Well, he was very often the one who noticed it and he did something about it. But now he's going to be working together, I guess, with Ari Stern, but it's going to be its own committee. And these are the people who help, these are the people who share the bracha of Yehoshua ben Nun. The Zchus of Torah that comes is about of being decided to self summon with the base medrash. And finally, a new position also is member at large. It's not a committee level, committee head, but it's we're all going to benefit from the advice and leadership of Dr. David Blass, who, as busy as he is, volunteered and has been working very, very closely with me to first of all to make this Avamalka happen and many of the other projects that have been happening lately. So Baruch Hashem has done that work. That's another nice. So please look at the forms in front of you. I thank you. I hope I'm there if anybody has comments, issues. Very easy, accessible. Even when I'm in Chutz Haaretz, email me. I'll write you back.
Names.
Oh, yes. So we have the sheet that. The questionnaire. So on the questionnaire, if any of you are filling it out, feel free to fill it out and give us as much data as we can so we can serve you best. It's important to write your names on it, and this way we can be in touch with you, especially if you want us to. Could be anonymous if you also wanted to. But please take advantage of the opportunities that are going to be coming up. Please take advantage of the opportunities that are coming up and try to join us. Finally, I'd like to there are some exciting things that are happening that I'm going to speak on behalf of Minashe. So Mrs. Gurman, Shadi Gurman, is continuing leading the Minashe. Mrs. Ilana Kadar, is also being very, very involved, especially with working with designing programming for teenage girls. She stepped up in many, many other ways as well. It's made certainly my life and the board's life a lot easier. But there's a committee sign-up sheet. Everyone, all the women, should take a look at that and see where we can borrow your talents, where we can use your talents, and it would be great if many women step up and get involved in that. There's going to be a lot of new changes in terms of programming, etc. Some things will work, some things will not work. We're open to your ideas. We want to hear from you. You have a board, a very large board, and we're all there to address any concerns that you have. And we're all the people you can approach, we're all approachable. And in the near to Shem, in 2 years when my term is officially up, at that point, the show will be in better standing. We'll be in an even better place, and hopefully with a lot of positive energy, a lot of simcha, the show can, Michael, and have a good.